National Gallery Podcast.
This is the National Gallery Podcast, and I'm Miranda Hinckley. We start in an unabashedly Christmassy vein with the Adoration of the Kings, as painted by the Italian artist Carlo Dolci. His works were in huge demand during his lifetime, but his modest output meant he was largely forgotten after his death in the late 17th century. This painting, one of his largest, didn't enter the National Gallery's collection until 1990. But since its arrival, it's been much appreciated by the public for its gorgeous colours and textures, and as a perfect Christmas card image. Ethereal cherubim float over the head of the Virgin and Child, who occupy the middle of the painting, surrounded by the three kings and their gifts. Curator Jenny Slivka told Cathy Fitzgerald what fascinates her about the work.
I was sort of interested in the tradition of representing the three magi, because if you go back to the Gospel story, Matthew talks about the magi coming from the east to visit the Christ child. And curiously, in the biblical account, there's no mention of how many magi there are, and they're not described as kings at all. That's something that comes much later. So in really early representations, they're actually described as Persian astrologers. And this is something that actually Western Christianity took up and transformed. And it's only after Tertullian describes them as kings that now we have this tradition. We see the kings arriving to pay homage to the young child who will become the King of Kings.
And they're very beautifully dressed, aren't they?
Exquisite. I mean, any artist who paints this subject, the Adoration of the Kings, it becomes a sort of bravura showcase because they get to elaborate and imagine what kings of this period might wear, and they get to describe what exotic animals might accompany this retinue. But I think Dolci in particular, being a tailor's son, he goes on a sort of wild tour de force in his description of all of these golden textiles and the description of different kinds of materials. So you go from shiny, hard gold to soft fur and velvety turbans, and you do actually dangerously want to reach out and touch. We won't let you, but it does have that sort of appeal, I think.
We have a self-portrait of the artist as well, don't we?
Yes, he's sort of tucked away in the corner. If you look at the centre of the picture and move your eye all the way to the right-hand side, you'll see a truncated figure, sort of a half face staring out at you.
Just behind
the turbaned man. Yeah, who's still slightly in shade as well. So this is not a figure that jumps out at you. You need to spend time to look. And you'll notice that he's actually looking out at you. And Dolci was a deeply spiritual man. I think he has some sort of personal affinity to this painting. And that personal affinity is actually confirmed by something that we can't see here today. But if I could turn this painting around and show you the back, Dolci actually signs his name and his age, which is 33. And it seems to me that this is a very specific reference, a sort of affinity that he had with the figure of Christ. Christ, of course, died on the cross at the age of 33. And I think that has some very personal resonance for him.
Do you think this picture gets more popular at this time of year?
Certainly. Actually, I've been noticing since the weather got colder in this gallery, there's a lot more people gathering around this picture. And I think it strikes people in a different way. Somehow about the colouring and the tonalities and dark, you know, winter light, it seems to make more sense in some ways.
Jenny Slivka talking about Dolci's Adoration of the Kings, which you can find in Room 32, and on some of this year's National Gallery Christmas cards. If you haven't bought yours yet, see www.nationalgallery.co.uk, where you can find a range of decorations and gift ideas. And now to our exhibition Facing the Modern, the portrait in Vienna 1900. Celebrating the great diversity of portraiture in turn-of-the-century Vienna, this show brings together works by Klimt, Schiller and other greats, but among the many grand portraits in oils, there's one rather more humble object, a small cardboard-bound photograph album. It was discovered tucked into a plastic bag full of family documents by the ceramicist and author Edmund de Waal when he was researching his book The Hare with the Amber Eyes. Made in the early years of the 20th century, the album records a lavish weekend party at which Edmund's then-youthful great-grandmother Emmy and her cousins dressed up as figures from old master paintings. Emmy's inspiration was Titian's famous portrait of the Renaissance noblewoman Isabella d'Este, as Edmund explained to Leah Caribbean.
There she is, Emmy von Effrussi,
my great-grandmother, looking, I have to say, very self-possessed as Isabella d'Este, which actually rather fits with her character. She was very, very fond of dressing up. And here she is, you know, in an extraordinary complicated costume with a great fur drape across her and great velvet puff sleeves and the headdress looking exactly like Titian's painting and great pearl, huge pearl earrings, pearl drops going from her ears. And she's looking straight out at us with her hair perfectly done. It's 1904. And the question is, what are these women doing? What are these young women doing in Vienna dressing up like this? They're all Jewish. These are all my great-grandmother's cousins. These are all young Jewish women. And what they're doing, I'm sure of this, I'm convinced of this, in their dressing up, is it's a kind of assimilation. It's a kind of claiming of a place within Viennese society. It's a claiming, saying, we're not nouveau riche, arriviste Jewish arrivals from Odessa, from Galicia, from Ukraine, from the Levant. We are good European Viennese girls. And how do you do that? You dress up as someone in the Kunsthistorisches Museum. You choose your favourite painting, which is hanging in that incredible art palace, and you become a proper Viennese citizen. You assimilate by being an old master painting.
And painted portraits, however one looks at them, are really, they almost have implicit a do not touch sign attached to them. Whereas a photographic album is an entirely different beast. It's something to be held, it's something to be opened and talked over. Is that something that's important to you?
Yes. Part of what, of course, is so significant for me is this idea of the tangible past. Of being able to reach into the past, hold it in your hands and let it come alive. It's this telling of stories about where you are, who you're related to, who your friends are, who's in your circle. And it's very, very, very immediate.
And it's something I think that all of us can relate to because, of course, while we don't have Makarts or Schielers or Klimts on our wall, we all have a photographic album, a family album. And I was wondering if, you know, I suppose this holidays is a good time to get the album out and to share stories about them.
That's how you start storytelling, isn't it? You get out something and you pass it to someone else and immediately you're in that extraordinary world of anecdote and storytelling and remembrance, and things come alive. And, you know, here we are, as you say, it's a grand exhibition. It's full of extraordinarily powerful and complex images of people. But in this very small, modest thing, you've got young women, I mean, how old are they? 19, 20 years old, who've spent a weekend together dressing up. And you can just hear the amount of noise they must have made.
Thanks to Edmund Duval. Facing the Modern, the portrait in Vienna 1900 is sponsored by Credit Suisse and runs until the 12th of January. Tickets can be purchased from the gallery or online with a booking fee at www.nationalgallery.org.uk. Next, to a work by Rembrandt. Saskia von Uhlenberg, in Arcadian costume, shows a plump woman in a cream and green gown holding an armful of flowers and a staff decorated with foliage. This is Rembrandt's first wife, Saskia, and as the painting's title suggests, she's dressed in theatrical fashion. Art historian Carly Allen took Cathy Fitzgerald to meet her.
She doesn't quite meet our gaze. She looks away from us. Quite a searching sort of expression. She has a circlet of leaves and flowers around her hair, and her clothes are very low cut, so she has this quite raunchy bust that's being shown, which immediately tells us that this is definitely a woman in fanciful dress. It looks as if she might be pregnant. She looks very full-bodied. Is she supposed to be a goddess, perhaps the Roman goddess of spring and flowers, Flora? Is she just a simple shepherdess? We can perhaps imagine it's a combination of themes.
And what stage is Rembrandt at in his life when he paints this?
We're fairly secure in thinking it was made in 1635. So within those first years after Rembrandt arrives in Amsterdam, this is where he's going to really make his name. So he's a young artist. He's receiving a lot of portrait commissions through the art dealer Hendrik van Uhlenberg. And this
becomes really crucial because it's through Hendrik van Ulenberg's gallery that he meets, we can assume, Hendrik's cousin, Saskia. So this is the early years of Rembrandt's life as an artist and as a husband. He's just married Saskia the year before. So when we look back at this picture, perhaps that's what we see. We see him showing the woman he loves, this woman closest to him, full of life. And also, if this is 1635, then by the end of the year, we know that she gives birth to their first child. So being pregnant myself at the moment, I'll be lucky if I get a snapshot of me in the background to record this important moment. But they had these lengthy hours together, and it does feel like a celebration of that.
And in a way, this is a trailer for a lot more Rembrandt that's coming next year at the gallery.
Yes, this painting is a great example of Rembrandt's technique at the beginning of his career. But this time next year, autumn 2014, the gallery is going to be really focusing on Rembrandt's technique and subjects from his final years, bringing together important works from collections worldwide in a landmark exhibition.
Carly Allen talking about Saskia von Ulenberg by Rembrandt in Room 24. And the exhibition she mentioned, Rembrandt, The Final Years, will open at the gallery next October. That's it for this month. You can see the National Gallery's collection online at www.nationalgallery.org.uk. Or if you're in London this month, come visit. We're open 10 till 6 daily until 9 on Fridays, with the exception of the 24th to the 26th of December and the 1st of January, when the gallery will be closed. Season's greetings. Until next year, goodbye.